the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, we have seen the power of water. Creation seems to be doing more than its normal fair share of groaning lately. This is Romans 8 kind of groaning. We have seen, we have heard, we know all too vividly, all too horribly, the power of water, of wind and of wave, of flood and of mud, the power of water to destroy. But Scripture tells us that the God of creation is a God who not only made the sea and the dry land, but then also contained and controlled them, kept them all in their right place. And now we wonder why he allows the sea to destroy. Remember the flood? Now that was the big one. And God promised never again, at least not like that, at least not all living creatures, but God, this time, you let it come pretty close. Maybe not all living creatures, but far, far too many. And we are stunned by the power of water to destroy. But what did Peter say, 1 Peter 3, about that same flood? In it, a few people, 8 in number, were saved. Saved by the power of water. You see, the same creator who controls the water can use that same power of water not only to destroy, but also to save. You see, on the one hand, yes, on the one hand, there is destruction. Creation is groaning. Lives are lost. And it's all too visible, all too apparent in the news, in the hearts of both the godly and the ungodly. But on the other hand, that great and mighty hand and arm of God that rules and reigns his kingdom of the right, often all too hidden, rarely in the news. We know the power of God to save. And so our text takes us to the Jordan River at flood stage, a mighty water. This seemed to have happened before, deja vu all over again, at the beginning of this journey, this exodus. And what happened then? The hand of God through the outstretched arm of his servant Moses, himself saved at birth for life, through the saving power of water. The hand of God through the extended arm of Moses, the power of water to save and destroy there at the great sea. To save, but also to destroy. Pharaoh's army lay dead on the other shore, but Israel was safe, spared, separated from their past by the power of water. And now comes Joshua, this Jesus-named figure, to carry the story one step further. Joshua, the next generation, like the assistant pastor taking over with a major building program incomplete, it was up to him to finish the job, what we might call a major congregational relocation. He probably thought it was up to him to finish the story. And it was up to him, to this Joshua, to take his turn to lead the people of God through the water. And he told the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Yahweh will do wonders among you." Yahweh will do wonders. You see, it's not really about Joshua. It's really not about the water either. It's not really the water, indeed, that does such things, but the presence of the Word of God, which is in and with the water. For without the Word of God, the water is simple water. Oh, strong and powerful on its own, but strong to say, to destroy, but not to save. But with the Word of God, the very presence of God, mediated by the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as the priests set foot on the edge of the water, its waters of the Jordan were cut off, stood in a heap, and Israel passed through. The Ark stood right there in the middle. None of this one hand or the other hand stuff, but right there in the middle. This is the presence of God. This is the power of God. This is the person of God to save and even to lead his people from one side to the other. But of course, this wasn't the end of the story. Like Moses, Joshua left a few things undone as well. They never did occupy the whole land. The next generation gave way to the next generation. To judges and to kings and to prophets and to priests, some good, some bad, but the story moved on. And then one day came yet another prophet. And then came Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Yet another crossing. Another defining moment, another encounter with the power of water. Israel had come full circle, back to the edge of the Jordan River. But this is the one of whom it would be said, "Even the wind and the sea obey him." It was the Creator come as the Redeemer, come humbly in obedience, in repentance, not for his sins, but for the sins of Israel, oh, and indeed for all the world, to be baptized by John. But this was just the beginning of the story. Christmas, Epiphany. We are first coming to know this Jesus as the end of the story. He came to fulfill all righteousness. Dear friends in Christ, you know how the story plays out. This time it would be completed. It is finished. Hear him cry, crucified, dead, and buried. But on the third day he rose again, risen and ascended, lives and reigns to all eternity. He is risen indeed. And guess what? Through this one, the beloved Son of God, in whom God's favor rested, through whom God's plan of salvation for all nations was complete, in him, through him, into his death and resurrection, the power of water to destroy and to save, to kill and to make alive, has touched our lives and separated us from our past. It is a gracious water of life and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. God has done wonders amongst us. And in our lives and in our callings, from one generation to the next, often much more hidden than in the news, lives are changed. The old Adam is drowned, destroyed, and a new man daily comes forth and arises who will live before God in righteousness and purity forever. God is working wonders amongst us. In the name of Jesus, amen.